OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Monday, September 30th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. If you own an iPhone and you updated to the latest iOS 18, you may have noticed something new on your screen, a passwords app. Our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen, will tell us more about it. And then, defense companies making weapons to counter Beijing have a problem. They depend on China for parts. Our technology and national security reporter, Heather Somerville, will explain the challenges behind overhauling a China-dominated supply chain. But first, there have been over 10,000 data breaches this year, a record high, and the majority of those attacks used stolen credentials. That's according to a recent Verizon analysis. A password manager could help thwart some of those attacks, but according to a global survey by authentication company Yubico, only about 1 in 4 people use one. Now, as part of the latest iPhone, iPad, and Mac software update, Apple has included a free password manager that suggests unique, unguessable passwords, plus a feature that lets you securely share passwords with any contacts, as long as they're Apple users, of course. Here to tell us more is our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, Apple devices have saved my logins for years. So how does this new passwords app differ?
You're right. And it's pretty confusing that they now have a standalone passwords manager, but the previous system worked quietly in the background. So quietly that if you wanted to find a password, a Wi-Fi network that you have logged in for example, it was impossible. You had to go through multiple settings menus. Now, Apple is collecting all of your login info, not just passwords, but this newfangled tech called passkeys, two-factor codes, security warnings, Wi-Fi passwords into one easy-to-find place called Passwords, which is a new app available on Mac, iPad, and iPhone.
And how does Apple's app differ from other password managers out there?
The main difference between Apple's Passwords app and other options is not only that it's the default and built into Apple devices, but it's also free. A lot of other options are paid, and even the ones that are not paid typically offer more cross-compatibility. Like most Apple products, Apple's Passwords works best in Safari or on apps on Apple devices.
Are there any cons to using Apple's Passwords app?
Yes, two big ones is that it's not completely cross-platform functional, and a password manager should really work wherever you are. So that means your work computer, your personal computer, any other device. If you use Android, if you share passwords with someone who has an Android device, or use Firefox, for example, passwords won't work for you and you should really use a third-party alternative. Another con is that the Passwords app doesn't let you set a unique master password. It's protected by your device unlock passcode, and so it's not great that it's using a redundant passcode that you already use for your device. And most third-party apps do let you set a separate master password.
And do we know why Apple decided to make this a standalone app?
I can presume, which is that Google has its own version for Android and Chrome users called Google Password Manager that actually works on iOS too. But listen, passwords are the biggest problem for personal cybersecurity reasons. Among the many, many cyber attacks that took place this year, stolen credentials was the majority attack vector for those hacks. The average person has something like 250 passwords between their work and personal accounts, and that would be impossible to remember. And so we tend to just use 123123 because it's easy to remember and we can use it everywhere. The problem is hackers are very clever and they can not only guess and compute easily guessable passwords, but they rely on previous data breaches and hope that people have reused passwords.
That was WSJ personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen. Coming up, weapons makers rely on China for parts to make drones, ships, missiles, and more. Washington is saying no more. How are companies responding? We'll get into that after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.
U.S. defense companies rely heavily on China for parts. That's because Chinese parts are often cheaper, they work better, sometimes they're the only option for particular pieces. But as geopolitical tensions between the two countries grow, companies are learning to build high-tech weapons without materials from Beijing. Our technology and national security reporter Heather Somerville has been following the story, and she's with me now. Heather, I mentioned geopolitical tensions, but what are some of the main reasons that U.S. defense companies are now having to wean themselves off Chinese parts?
There are a number of reasons, national security reasons, economic reasons, that Washington no longer wants the United States to be so dependent on China for the stuff that we need. This goes well beyond defense components, of course. And there's been a number of new laws, new regulations, as well as policies proposed by lawmakers that are aimed at limiting the Chinese components that defense companies can use. Because the idea is if we go to war, if we go to war, especially with China, China will have all the stuff that we will need to build weapon systems. That doesn't work. So there's a push from regulators, there's a push from Congress on these defense companies to figure out a different way to build the weapon systems that they're building, to find different suppliers, and to hurry up and do it quickly.
And to make all those changes, how tough is it to really do that?
It's incredibly difficult. So if you look at the so-called primes, those would be the established defense contractors that we know by name, Lockheed Martin. They have thousands of suppliers in China. It is a relationship that is hard to imagine decoupling. They have an enormous challenge ahead of them. Now, I talk to startups. So these are early stage companies, often with just a small number of employees that are building their systems from the ground up today. And so they have both the challenge and the opportunity to build without Chinese components from the start. And that's what a lot of these companies are doing. They're finding really ingenious ways to source critical materials from other parts of the world, or in some places to figure out how to build it in-house. The challenge for these startup companies, they do not have the resources that a Lockheed Martin has. They don't have the money. They don't have the geopolitical savvy. Another challenge for these companies, Julie, is, well, both the U.S. as well as China are limiting what Chinese components U.S. companies can use if they want to sell to the Defense Department. And so the options that companies have are getting fewer and fewer. At the same time, there is a lack of government investment in trying to support the production of replacement components in the United States. That is a lament I heard from a lot of founders. For instance, I spoke to the founder of this company called Land Energy out in Cleveland, and he is building batteries and electric motorcycles that he's trying to sell to the Defense Department. And he's got one factory up and running in Cleveland, and he needs money for another factory. He said he can't get that anywhere. He can't get any debt. He can't get any government funding. He can't get any financial help. So he is in the process right now of looking to expand his manufacturing in the Philippines, where he has found money, where he has found an opportunity to be able to afford to expand that. So he's building interesting products for the Defense Department. He's trying to use non-Chinese materials, but he's not able to do it in a way that is really building in the United States and building up the American defense industrial base. And that is a problem that was flagged again and again.
Are the companies moving fast enough to replace the China-made parts in their products?
It really is on a case-by-case basis. You know, I spoke to companies who found alternatives to sensors, to radios that have previously been sourced from China. Components for batteries, rare earth materials, the stuff that you need for motors. Magnets is something that's necessary for propulsion motors, which are in like everything, basically satellites, drones, ships. China very much has a stronghold on that. And companies are bracing for regulations that will prevent them from sourcing motors and additional components from China where there are no viable alternatives. So there is a scramble right now to build up a domestic supply chain. For instance, new U.S. magnet suppliers. Like we don't have those in any real quantity. There's new magnet factories being set up to try to provide that material that is necessary for the motors in all of these drones and other systems. It's underway. It will take years to actually get there, and a lot of investment from the private sector as well as from the government.
So then zooming out, what kind of impact will this have in the defense sector overall?
It is remaking the defense sector. It is a new dawn for the defense sector. China is a crucial supplier for all of the critical technologies, for the critical components to make all the systems that the U.S. military needs. So that's where we are today, and that needs to be unwound very quickly. So we are talking about a dramatic overhaul of the entire defense industrial base. For startups specifically, these younger, scrappier companies that are finding creative ways to tackle this, it's an interesting business opportunity, but it is another challenge to a sector that faces enormous challenges already. These defense startups have raised an enormous amount of venture capital. So it's crunch time, really, for these startups to start to make money from the Defense Department, start to prove that they are worth all the investment that they have raised.
That was WSJ technology and national security reporter Heather Somerville. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Trina Menino with supervising producer Catherine Millsop. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/wallstreet. oracle.com/wallstreet.